Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. Here on KKXX, we have our host, Mike Davis, and I'm your co-host, John Stephenson. Today, we are speaking with Lloyd Tremaine. He is the pastor of the Paradise Community Church of the Nazarene. Welcome to the show, Pastor Lloyd.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all that you have given us. And we pray that we serve you today in this broadcast and in the rest of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name and amen.
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 So, Pastor Lloyd, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And would you please introduce yourself, introduce your ministries, multiple they are?
Yes, I'm the pastor at the Paradise Community Church of the Nazarene, as John introduced me. I've been there since 2000, so been there 16 years and full-time, of course, in ministry there. I also work as chaplain for the Paradise Police and Fire Department, and I work along with the chaplains at the Feather River Hospital. And that takes a little bit of time, but that's a part of ministry, and it's a part of caring for God's people as well as others who need His presence in their lives.
Okay, excellent. And now, explain a little bit about your duties as the chaplain, especially the fire and the police.
Okay. Currently, I'm the lead chaplain. What that means is basically I help just make sure that the chaplains are all together and working together as a team. We get together and meet every month and work together on scheduling and different things. But we go out with police whenever we're called, and fire if we're needed in particular situations. And in each of the different places that we're called out to, it's usually regarding situations where people are in desperate need. And the police have their jobs that they need to do. Firemen have their jobs that they need to do. And we come in as a resource for them, kind of a liaison, you might say, between the community and the police department, the community and the fire department, to try and help out. If there's a family in need, we'll step in and be the liaisons, the support people that help them out. And on scene as well as off scene. We care for people at home, on the street, wherever we're called to. We also minister to the police department itself, to those who are in the throes of what they're doing, and they need support and encouragement, so we want to provide that. We also pray over them, spend time there praying every week over the officers, over all of the staff, over our chief, as well as all the volunteers. We pray over them. Same thing goes with the fire department, with CAL FIRE. We pray over them, their leadership, the things that they're doing around town. We also know that the fire season's creeping up on us, and even though we've had great rains this year, we also know that the potential for fire is pretty great around the ridge. So we spend a lot of time praying for them and encouraging them and wanting to make sure that their jobs are going to be able to be successful, and any support we can be to them is a part of what we do as the chaplaincy.
Excellent. Have you seen any or felt any resistance from having your presence there?
No, not necessarily, because we're supportive. We're not there to do a job that wouldn't be an assistance to them. So we're not there as preachers. None of us come in saying, you'd better do this or you'd better do that. We don't come with theology packed in. We come in with love and support and encouragement. So a chaplain is not there as a preacher. A chaplain is there, period, as care. As a matter of fact, our title and our mission statement follows along with the word sacred care. Mm-hmm. We pay attention to the needs of the people who are in the police department, in the fire department. We listen to them. If we need to counsel, we do that. Of course, it's all private, and nothing leaves the room when we speak to them. It's all very clearly laid out with the parameters that are necessary to be able to keep and support those officers as well as those firemen and women who are in the middle of what they're doing. They need to have that support.
Absolutely, and it is, in my observation, it's when people are at their lowest or when people are in that crisis mode, mm-hmm. and the police obviously see that a lot, so does the fire department. They need a lot of emotional support just to carry on. And, of course, the people that are in the middle of the crisis, sometimes of their own making, and sometimes, you know, talk about a little bit about, you know, the attitude of a minister in this. You can't, obviously, there's a certain amount of meekness. Talk about the difference between meekness and, you know, the other spirits that can be taken to a scene that are not helpful.
Well, as you know, what Jesus taught us to do was to love. It's not necessarily about meekness, though meekness is a part of it. It's really all wrapped up in that word, love. It is about making sure that people understand that they are loved and cared for. They are supported, they are encouraged, because we care about who they are. We don't just walk in there as a job to do a specific thing. We walk in with care. When we look at a situation, whether it's a crime scene, whether we're not in the middle of a crime scene, we're on the outside, mm-hmm. but we care about what's happening in those different areas. So we'll step in with that word love right in front of our eyes. It's not about trying to take over and to do just a specific job. It's about caring for whoever's in that situation. So every place we step into is different. Every place we walk into has its own set of factors that we cannot even prepare ourselves for. However, as we're walking in with love, we're walking in with the passion to care for the people who are there, encourage them and bless them in Jesus' name. However we're going to do it, we're going to find ways to make sure that people are cared for. Yes, we are rejected. Yes, we're told, get out of my face. Yes, we're told, we don't want a chaplain around. I've had people actually tell me, don't come anywhere near me. I don't want a chaplain in here. And after a while of me just standing back and praying for them, they would come back and say, who are you again? What are you doing? Well, I'm a liaison. I'm a chaplain. I'm here to support you. And after a little bit of talking to them, pretty soon they loosen, they drop their guard. They understand we're not there to preach at them. We're not there to try and conform them to our religion or to our belief system. We're there to care for who they are in the middle of their tragic situation, whether it's a murder, a suicide, whether it's a car accident and a death, whatever it might be. We're there to care for them, for the family, for the people that are in desperate need at that time. And on the way to the hospital, there are times when they just need someone who's there, not speaking a word. I don't have to say a word to a lot of people. My presence, and a part of chaplaincy is presence. That's one of the words that is a key word for chaplaincy. It's not about teaching. We do not go in there to teach them all this stuff, though I will be a part of encouraging and teaching and helping people to understand what chaplains do. It is a part of listening to them, caring for them, the individuals. And I have encountered several individuals that are not Christians, and they have other religious beliefs and other religious backgrounds. And so you have to listen to what their needs are and encourage them and bring them close to the best ministry of love that you can possibly provide. Sometimes, like I said, it's just silence, just being present. And God can take and move in those little circumstances and bring about some incredible times of love and ministry that otherwise would never happen if we weren't standing there and a part of what was going on.
Absolutely. And that, you know, that really speaks to me. It really speaks to my spirit, because each and every one of us on our own level are chaplains to those that are around
Absolutely.
Us. How do our listeners apply this same thing to those that are around them that are hurting? Because they want to teach these folks, but the last thing that some of these folks need is scripture that speaks to a I told you so type of thing. You know, they need presence and they need love. They don't need a lecture.
That's absolutely certain. As a matter of fact, I teach that in church. And I don't need to say that because I'm a pastor. It's just a part of loving and living. You love and you listen because you care about people, just like Jesus did. Did Jesus take time to teach? Sure. But what did he do first? He loved them. He looked at their needs. He found their needs. He met their needs. And then when they were ready, he would talk to them about the truth. He would offer them the joy of the gospel. And it was usually at their request. They would ask questions, or they would come to where he was teaching to listen because they were interested in what he had to say. When you are loving, I don't care where you are in society, when you are loving people as Jesus loved people, there is going to be opportunity after opportunity that are going to come up in front of you to be able to share the truth of the gospel in love. But if you don't love them and meet their needs first, you're going to have a hard time finding a place to be able to say, you know what? You need to hear the truth. Actually, what they need is you to love them and care for them where they're at. I know that God is love, and that's a part of where I come from, because he's loved me. He's been gracious to me. Thank you, God. He's been gracious toward all of us. And he wants us to be able to present his love with grace, not with an attitude of, it's my way or the highway, buddy. You better get on board here. It's a matter of being absolutely ready to love people and care for them like Jesus did.
Absolutely. Let me read a scripture real quick. It says in 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear." How many people skip step one and go directly to step two? They're providing that reason or trying to give people a reason for the hope within them without the person first coming to them and asking for the hope that is within them.
That's absolutely correct. And that's a part of what we as chaplains do. We don't go in with an agenda. We go in with love. We meet them where they're at and care for them. Whatever that means, in whatever situation, we're not there to preach. And I know I've said this multiple times, but we are there to love people. We are there to help them and support them. And whether you're in Chico, they have a great chaplains program. Father Hansen has been a part of that for many years, and there's a bunch of others. I met with them a couple weeks ago. They have a great chaplain program here. There's a chaplain in Oroville, and we've got chaplaincy in Paradise. There's chaplains in many different places all around us. We go in with that attitude of we're here for you, not for us, not for our agendas. We're here for you. And most people don't understand that. I'm also a chaplain at the hospital, and sometimes I'll walk into a hospital room and they'll see my tag on my chest that says chaplain. They'll think, oh no, does that mean I'm going to die? The chaplain's here. And they will immediately throw up all kinds of red flags. They will have walls that will go flying up in front of them. Fear will grip their eyes, and they'll begin to say, wow. Oh, no, what's coming? When they realize that we're there to love them and be a support personnel. We're a liaison to the chaplain community, hospital community. We're there to help them and support them and encourage them and point them in good ways for them. And I don't have to be from their denomination. I don't have to be from their faith system. I don't have to be anything else. I am there as a love liaison to be able to be a sacred presence that cares for the people that are in front of us on that day because they're in need. What else would we do but love in Jesus' name?
Well, that's you give a kind of a comical type of scene there where their eyes get big and they say, what have they not told me? Well, have they told you about the love of Jesus?
A little different.
So, yeah, it's very, very interesting. What other community support activities do you have to rely on? Because let's face it, even in the best of churches, you can't solve every need, especially every physical need. You have to have community outreach to help you to come alongside of you as you come alongside of others.
Right. We have a big part of what chaplains do is we send people to the resources that are going to help them. We tie them into, if they have a pastor, I'm going to tie them into their pastor, into their faith situation. If they're a Sikh, I'm going to tie them into their community. I'm going to find ways to be able to help them to connect and talk with their leaders to be able to help them to be able to say, this person is in need. How are we going to help them? Maybe we'll deal with community services. Maybe we'll deal with a place for them for housing. Maybe we'll deal if their house is burned down. We'll find opportunities and places to be able to meet their needs. And so a part of what we do is resource. We're a resource group who makes sure that all the dots and things are covered so that people will be able to get the assistance, the support, the encouragement that they need from whatever background they're in. Of course, if they ask the question about the hope that is within us, we're going to share that hope. Because as chaplains, we have that hope through Jesus Christ. Our faith is centered in him. We are not at the point of saying, no faith, we're not going to speak about our faith. No, we wait for those opportunities to share the faith that is within us. And we give those things freely, but only when we're asked. Because it's really about that person and the things that are going on in their lives. Have people been transformed because of the chaplain's ministry? Absolutely. I've led people to Christ right in the middle of a call. People who had no idea that they were going to be making a decision on that particular day have suddenly said, I need God's forgiveness for me. I need God's wholeness in me. My loved one just died. What's going to happen when I die? I need to know for certain where I'm going when I die. Mm-hmm. And they will ask questions. They'll say, what can you tell me about faith? What can you tell me about eternal life? What can you give me that's a part of your life that'll help me in my life? And as they open up and they ask those questions, oh, I absolutely give them the goodness of the gospel in love. And I'll share with them only those things they're ready for. I won't go into a sermon, a three-point sermon on salvation. I am going to walk them through so every step of their faith that I'm hearing from them, because I will ask them questions throughout our conversation. I won't just bam, 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 here's the gospel. I will walk them through so that their faith will join with the truth and they will be able to accept the parts that I'm giving them. Because what that's going to do is feed their desire to know more about God. If I gave them the whole thing, it might be overwhelming. I'm only giving them in love what they can take at that time. And most people are in the middle of desperate places. They're in the middle of broken places. So they can't take it all in. Even if you were to be the most eloquent of persons to speak the best truths into people's lives, if you're not doing it in love and able to recognize where a person is at, you're going to miss them. The truth is going to fly right by them because they're in the middle of distress. They're not going to hear it. They're not going to see it. They're only going to see that you care. And what will happen is later on, you might have chance to be able to talk to them more about more faith. I've had people come to church just because I cared about them on a scene. And they'll come to church, and I have some that are now members, because they said, you loved me when I needed to be loved. You cared about me. You didn't preach at me. You didn't teach at me. You just cared about who I was. I said, well, that's the whole part of what chaplaincy is about, caring about the people that we're ministering to, because it's all done in love for them. Not for me. I already have. I'm full of love. I'm full of God's presence. I have his spirit on me. Absolutely. So a part of the joy of that is recognizing that God can work beyond what I do and say.
Thank you, Pastor Lloyd Tremaine. We're very grateful to have you on the show. We will be right back with Christ Today. And this section is brought to you by another sponsor of the show, which is the Lighthouse Tabernacle in Gridley. And that's with Pastor Hammond. And he has a Sunday service that begins at 10:45 a.m. All right, now, listeners, we will be right back with Pastor Lloyd Tremaine.
We're not going to talk about Ken Malone at all today.
Right.
We don't have time at this service.
Okay, then here we go. Listeners, welcome back to Christ Today. We have on our show today Pastor Lloyd Tremaine. Welcome back, Pastor Lloyd.
Thank you. It's good to be with you today.
This is fun to hear about the things that you do, and it's more involved than we would have expected. There's a lot of people who hurt out there, and
it's
we
true.
Are always glad that we can give them comfort, we as Christians. Yeah.
All of us can, not just a chaplain. We all have the opportunity to live Jesus' love.
Amen. Yes. Now, speak to us a little bit about those that are in your congregation, because chaplaincy, I mean, being a servant of love, okay, and serving people in love, that's not just for the pastors. It's sheep that make sheep. Shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep, you know. And a lot of people are saying, you know, they look around on Sunday morning saying, well, why aren't we growing here? Well, we're not growing because the sheep aren't making sheep. They're not loving people the way they need to be loving people. So speak a little bit to how somebody that's just in the congregation, a layman, can go ahead and help the kingdom by serving others in love.
That's a great response, because a part of what we do as pastors is we teach the people how to love people, hopefully. We don't just teach them the evangelism principles. We teach them about love. And I know I'm saying that a whole lot today, but a lot of people don't approach this with love. They'll approach it with, I've got something to share, and you'd better listen. The whole idea behind Evangelism Explosion and behind other opportunities like that that talk about evangelism and share evangelism principles for us to be able to use in leading people to a relationship with Jesus Christ is the whole attitude and atmosphere of loving them to Christ. If you have not built an open door to them to be able to recognize who you are and that you have a life that is full and overflowing with joy, then they won't look to you at those times when they need somebody to be able to share the truth with them. If you are living that kind of a life in front of them, it is a part of your lifestyle that represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and it gives them an opportunity because they see God's Spirit living in you. A part of being a pastor is helping the sheep know how to love others. And yes, you'll hear it in the sermons, but you'll also hear it in Bible studies. You'll hear it in times when we're just one-on-one together, when I'm sitting in somebody's front room, living room with them and talking to them, or I'm sitting down at the coffee shop and speaking to them. We're always looking for opportunities to help people recognize the love of Jesus. We have a Tuesday morning men's breakfast that we meet at Cozy Diner on Tuesday mornings, and John is a part of that with me, and a lot of other guys. And as we meet together, you would be amazed if you saw the amount of love that is represented in that room that goes out beyond the walls of that morning visit, the time when we're together and connecting every week. Those walls are broken down because you may see 12 different churches represented in this group. It's a very unusual and a very amazing group, and we meet at Cozy Diner in Paradise every week. But the thing that you see coming out of that is a representation of all different kinds of love being shared everywhere they go. You're going to find guys walking out of there ready to go out and love people for Jesus. They are ready to be able to take the next steps in how they're going to be able to present the Lord to the people around them in love. And you will hear that and see that. One of the things we talked about in our Bible study just this last week on a Wednesday night, we had a group of people there who were a part of a Bible study. But the Bible study, even though it was very inductive, I go pretty deep in my studies. It's not surface stuff. It's very in-depth, very detailed. I go into the Hebrew, but then you see how it fits with the whole Bible. It's incredible what God does. I was able to walk with them through and share with them personal life stories about what's happening today. What happened earlier today that helped people to be able to see God's love in action? What was it in my life, or what was it in someone else's life that helped others to see that love of God in us? If we do not live it, then people won't learn it. If we do not share it, then people will not be able to say, oh, I get it. So we have to live it first, live that love, and then we share it so that they can hear it. I know those are simple answers, but that's really the way we live. That's really the way that we take a hold of that love and personally examine it and give it to others who are the sheep, who are the ones to be able to share their love. You give them the personal examples. You show them how you did it so that then they will say, oh, I could do that. Well, yes, you can. That's a part of loving people and drawing them into God's presence.
Well, and you've hit on a thing that I think that might be under the surface, okay? Mm-hmm. And those who stay on the surface and stay superficial sometimes don't get down to the deeper issues that God has for them. Because when somebody reads, for instance, I think it's 1 Corinthians 8, if I'm not mistaken, but where Paul says knowledge puffeth up, but love edifies, or love builds up.
Yes.
And those who are walking and trying to minister in love, a lot of times I get the feeling like they are running as fast as they can away from any doctrinal studies or any type of in-depth Bible study, because they don't necessarily feel that that's helping them to walk in love. But it's a balance. And as you grow in your knowledge of God, you also grow in your appreciation of God. And you know, of course we don't want to ever get to the point of being so knowledgeable that we get haughty, all right? We need to go ahead and walk in love, and we need to keep that balance of love. But I have a feeling like people are thinking, well, I need more practice at loving people. I don't need more practice at study or... And I think that there are those people who are, you know, not maintaining the balance. Talk about the balance that we must maintain mm-hmm. as Christians.
I think the balance comes from Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, which says, follow God's example. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ has loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. A lot of times we will miss out on the truth of the gospel because we're just thinking, oh, all I need to do is this. All I need to do is be a good person. And everyone will want to come to Christ because I'm a good person. No, you have to be ready. Just like the scripture you read earlier from 1 Peter is talking about, be ready to give an answer to the hope that is within you. If you don't have an answer, then you don't have any way to be able to share the hope and the love that God has given to you. If you do not have any way to be able to share with people how God has forgiven you of your sins, how are they going to have God coming up in their thoughts to be able to say, I need that for me? You need to be able to share the hope of the gospel that is within you. If you don't have that hope, and if you don't have that experience, don't go trying to act as if you do. Because people will look to you for the answers, and if you don't have an answer, you need to find the answer so you can share it with great confidence and joy. I think that's something that has been built in my life, is absolutely, I want to share him everywhere I go. But as a chaplain, I am very careful about how and when I share that love. I'm very careful how I share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are careful things. They are thought out things. They are not necessarily in an order, but they are prepared. They are ready for sharing. They are ready. And it's all going to be from personal experience. What has God done for me? Because if you're speaking just about somebody else, people are not going to be that interested. But if you're speaking from the passion and the love of Jesus Christ that has intersected you in your life, that has captured you and transformed you, the Spirit of God that has come and indwelt you and caused you to be full of God's presence, then you have something to share. And that's when people will say, aha, this person knows what they're talking about because they've had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And it's not just a one-time experience that happened way back when, 1923, at a revival service in a tent. It is about a daily walking with Jesus Christ and learning from him in his word. If I'm not reading in God's word every day, I'm missing out on so many joyous, glorious things that I'm absolutely losing track of who I am in Christ Jesus. I'm missing it. If I'm reading God's word, if I'm learning what it is that's there, I am then able to share what God has done to me and what God does through his word.
Speak a little bit to the drifting that Christians can have by not, you know, having a study of his word, by not having a daily prayer with him. And you know, Paul said, pray without ceasing, you know. So we need to have that communion with God constantly. We can have that. Communion is what Paul is saying, right. Is we don't have to have a 5-minute prayer in the morning and then good luck, roll up the sleeves and hope we make it the rest of the day.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? This is one of the most important things as a pastor, is passing that truth on. Because people in churches today, a lot of people are very empty spiritually. They do not spend time with God outside of maybe showing up for church. They don't take time to listen to God. They don't take quiet time where they can actually be in God's presence, soak in his presence, enjoy his presence, be filled with his presence. They're just there for an immediate, oh God, bless this day. Thanks, bye. And they're off doing their own thing. They are empty of spiritual life and fervor because they do not have a, and I'm going to say it here very purposefully, relationship with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If we do not have a relationship with God, we're going to be like one of those virgins. One of those virgins in the scripture that talks about the fact that they did not have the oil that they needed to be able to walk in to the wedding feast. Those that had their oil jars filled because they had a relationship with him, they knew that they needed to keep their jars filled. They went in with him, but there were five that walked away out of those 10 to go and find some oil somewhere, somehow, something, to fill their jars. They missed when the king came and took them in. I think a lot of times Christians, and I know some people, probably those who are even listening today, there may be some of you who don't understand that principle. This is so key. We need, not should, need to have a daily relationship with Jesus Christ, period. If it's not there, then you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ every day, you're divorced. Did you hear that correctly? You're divorced. If you have a relationship with your spouse, every day you're married. You're going to spend time with them, hopefully. You'll know their love language. You'll be able to speak their love language. You'll be able to live out for their love language and share their love language and find ways to meet their needs in their love languages. By the way, you should read that book if you haven't read it, The Five Love Languages. Just as a quick buffer.
Gary Chapman?
Yes, Gary Chapman. Wonderful book. And I tell you what, I bet most people, Christians and not, do not understand what love languages are. And therefore, they can't share love. They don't understand what their love language is, and they're not able to be a part of really enjoying love. There I go with love again. Sorry.
Well, no. I think that that's what Gary was saying in his book, actually, is that a lot of people are trying to meet other people according to their own love language and
exactly.
Not reading them and being sensitive to their love language. And not everybody's love language is the same, and mm-hmm. Not everybody. So when you see somebody trying to approach you, and you're like, well, that isn't doing anything for me. Well, that's a teachable moment, you know, mm-hmm. To love them right back, because what you see them trying to, in the way they're trying to love you, is probably how you need to turn around and start loving them.
Yes.
Because they are approaching you according to their own paradigm.
And I use that in all my premarital counseling, because most of the couples that come in for premarital counseling have no idea that the other person has a love language and that they have a different one. A lot of people that come in for marriage counseling come in saying, we're just not connecting. We can't seem to love each other. Really? Well, do you know what your spouse's love language is? What are you talking about? And I begin to walk them through that, and they begin to say, hot diggity dog. Sorry, that's probably not what they say. They'll say something like that, and they'll say, I wish I would have known that when I first got married. Well, yeah, that's what premarital counseling is for. And a lot of people miss that part, and they just miss out on all the love that they could be receiving and giving and enjoying because they're off on their own tangent. If I went up and gave everyone hugs, I'm going to have half the people push me away because that's not their love language. So I want to find ways to be able to speak their love language. One of the reasons as chaplains why we sit back and we watch a situation before we interact with it is so that we know what the people are like that we're going to be dealing with. We look at them, we watch them, we listen to them because there's that love language issue. We want to know how to connect with who they are, where they are. And if we don't know that, we may go flying right by them and totally miss a great opportunity for Christ and his kingdom, as well as just loving them where they're at and finding ways to help them to be able to meet the wonderful one who gave us love. God is love.
Amen to that. Well, and we need to talk, I think, a little bit about the intersection of conflict. Everybody is going to have a certain amount of storms come into their life. Jesus promised it.
Mm-hmm.
Said right. When he didn't say if the storm came, the house that's built on the rock will stand. He says when the storm comes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So everybody's going to have a storm coming in their life. For those who know Christ and have built on the rock, they're going to survive the storm. Talk a little bit about the importance of building that relationship before the crisis hits, of knowing the Savior and being able to lean on the Savior as the crisis is approaching, not necessarily when you get, you know, up to your gills in water.
And that comes right back to the word I was just using, relationship. People need to be in relationship with God and man. When Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength," is the greatest commandment. The second one was, "And love your neighbor as yourself." How many of us, literally, honestly, love your neighbor as you love yourself? Really? Are you loving others like you love yourself? How are you loving God? How are you expressing your love to God in a relationship with Him? Do you just cuddle with Him when you want to? Do you just come around Him when you have a desire to talk and tell Him things that you think He should hear? What is this relationship all about? And I think that one of the most important things, again, I said it just a little bit earlier, one of the most important things we can do is be in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ all the time. That means being in His Word, listening to Him when we're in our times of prayer, not just giving Him our bucket list, saying, "God, I hope you fill this bucket list for me because I'm really looking forward to it." No, we're in there saying, "God, what do you have for me today? How do you want to work in me and draw me into your presence today? How do you want to use me today? How do you want my words and my actions to be able to represent you in this world and loving people for you like you would? God, if you were here, how would you work with me? If we were to walk down this road together like Jesus was walking toward Jerusalem, they had purpose when they were on that road. They were walking together towards His death. We're not necessarily walking towards our death, but there may be someone that we need to be walking with in their direction so that we are able to love them. And if we do not have personal relationships with people, if we do not go out of our way to care for people, then they're not going to see that we love them. If all we do is the things that make us comfortable, sitting in our corner with our toys in our lap, maybe our remote in our hand, if we're just doing those things, then we're not loving others. Does that make sense? I think that it is key that we choose in our relationship to take that next step of love, to go beyond ourselves and to love others truly as we love ourselves, and love the Lord our God with all, not part of, all our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
And to remember who our neighbor is. Yes, who is
everyone
our
around
closest
us.
Neighbor? Some people say it's your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
All right, listeners, we will be right back to this show on Christ today. Be right back. Listeners, welcome back to Christ Today. Today we are having a good conversation with Pastor Lloyd Tremaine of Paradise Community Church of the Nazarene. And we also have a sponsor for this segment. It's the Calvary Christian Fellowship in Oroville with Pastor Hicks, and it begins the Bible study at 9:45. On Sunday morning, and it has a Sunday service at 11 a.m. Thank you, and welcome back.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me as a part of the show this morning.
Lovely.
Well, and we just ended our last segment talking about how important a relationship with God is. Talk a little bit about having a spirit of gratitude toward God and gratitude toward His working in us, through us, and around us.
Well, that's a good thing to be able to look at, because if we do not have a relationship with Him, we're sure not going to be grateful for what He's done for us. But if we're walking with Him in His light, we are listening and learning from Him. our hearts are automatically going to start to grow in gratitude because we're going to recognize His grace. How often have you stood in the background and said, God, thank you for forgiving me of my sins? How often have you stepped up and said, God, I need more grace today? How often have you backed up and said, God, remember when I said that? I didn't mean it. Now I mean it. Mm-hmm. I really mean it, God. I need you now. Please forgive me and walk with me. If we're not in relationship, we're not going to be thankful because we won't recognize all the good things God is doing for us. If you are in a relationship with God, you recognize His love, His forgiveness. If you're allowing His Holy Spirit to fill you and move through you and work in you, you are in a dynamic, and I mean that word in a positive way, a dynamic personal relationship with Him. That means it is ongoing, it is interactive, it is personal, it is growing, it is not sitting still, it is not empty feeling, it is not just an empty nest, oh God, where are you? Because as we're in relationship with Him, He is with us all the time. And it builds our faith and our favor. It builds our wonderful grace factor in us where we say, God, I see what you've done. Thank you. Oh, man, I don't deserve you. Thank you. Every time we come into communion, every single time we step into communion, I don't care what church you go to, whenever you step into communion, if thankfulness is not on your lips, you're not in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You do not have a relationship with Him.
Amen.
You need to have a thankful heart. David talked about how great and thankful his heart was for all the things that God had done for him. Did God forgive David? Oh, yes, He did. And you probably know about it. Guess what? He forgave you of your sins. If you invited Him into your life to forgive you of your sins, that means that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you have been cleansed. You have been forgiven. You have been set free. You have been given a new name in heaven. Your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You now have life to walk in. Don't turn away. Don't reject it. Don't stand back and say, oh, I wish. No, it's not about I wish. It's I want. I want to be with God. I can't stand being away from Him. I love Him so much. I am wrapped up in this one who has given His all for me. And it builds thankfulness in you. It just causes it to just bubble up in. For me, I bubble it. John can tell you about it. I'm bubbling that kind of love and thankfulness and joy. That's just a part of who I am, but it's because I'm in personal relationship with Him. If I wasn't in a personal relationship with Him, I would not have that thankful heart because I'd be missing on all the good things He's doing. I would be just looking at myself and not at others. I wouldn't just be praying for others and encouraging others and blessing others because I would be all about me. And there's that little Disney movie that had, and I'm not going to name what it is, but I don't want to have to pay the rights for that. There's these little birds and they're sitting around going, mine. Well, a lot of times that's all people are doing. And yet they say, I'm a Christian, but all they're doing is saying, feed me. They go to church and say, feed me. And they're not willing to take all that food and all that energy that they've just got from growing in Christ to be able to go out and share it and be able to live it. All of a sudden the relationship with Him is all about, oh, give me what I want.
Yeah,
it's a selfishness that's absolutely inherent in a lot of the church, which we want to avoid.
Absolutely. It's not childlikeness, it's childish.
That's correct. Oh, my goodness.
And yes, we've talked on the show before about the two Christians that are sitting side by side, both 10 years in the Lord, but one is 1 year 10 times, and the other one is actually 10 years in the Lord, 10 years old in the Lord, because one is not growing. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I think that the study of God's Word will automatically make us grateful, because as we understand more and more how high the bar was that only Jesus could get over, Jesus Himself says, those who are forgiven much love much. And when we start to really appreciate just how bad we were, how stuck in the mud and mire, and just how dark our hearts really are, and that we have been forgiven and washed and cleansed and accepted in the Beloved, oh my goodness, if you don't have a gratitude and a love for God after having done all of that, there is something wrong.
In your spirit.
There's something really, really wrong with your spiritual pulse there. That's we need to go ahead and have, you know, we need a checkup.
That's right. And sometimes we need that checkup every day. Some people say, well, I just need to go into the doctor once a quarter. I just need to go and have him check my pulse for me. Really? Well, aren't you doing that? Aren't you caring about your body? You know, the body of Christ around you? Aren't you caring for your neighbors and those nearby? Aren't you caring for your family? How are you checking their pulse? Are you loving them as you love yourself? Well, some people might be loving others as they love themselves because they don't love themselves. I know a lot of people that are angry with themselves. They're so discontented in life because they're caught up in their worst in life, that they don't know what God can really do through them and for them. They don't understand what God wants to do in and through them because they're caught up in the negative parts. And I've dealt with teens as well as adults who have been in the throes of desiring to take their lives. And those are not pretty situations. But some people have to learn to love themselves, and one of the ways that they can learn to love themselves is to help them transition to giving their lives to Christ so he can pour his love into them, his wholeness into them, his restoration into them, so that they can know that it's not just about them, it's about who he is that comes and lives in them. It's about a transformation that he does in them to give them hope and life.
Talk a little bit about the pitfalls of those well-meaning Christians, okay, love God, but they are mired in the law. They're still on some type of a roll your sleeves up, let's work this thing out. Whereas, in fact, Jesus said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. It's God. According to Philippians chapter 2, it is God that works in us, both to will and to do his good pleasure.
His good pleasure, not ours.
So talk a little bit about not leaving the study of the word, but let's leave the performance of the law.
And that's, again, about relationship. I hate to keep doing this to you, but it goes right back into relationship with God. If you are stuck in the law, you are not in relationship with love. If you are stuck in the law, and if all you're doing is trying to achieve, make a name for yourself, cause the things that you do to look good on paper, then you're missing out on a relationship with God. You really are missing out on the relationship because the law just reveals sin. The law does not help you in life. The law is not what is going to lift you and strengthen you and help you. If you're a participant in the law and that's what you're focused on, even as a believer, you are missing out on the law of love. Because Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he did it through love. Love flowed through him, caring for God the Father. Man, Jesus loved the Father. Oh, man, he wanted to spend all his time with him. The worst time in Jesus' entire life was a short amount of time. Father, why have you forsaken me? God couldn't stand the sin of the entire world. That includes you and me, our sins were put on his son. That broke Jesus' heart to be separated from his father. How close are we to the father? Are we at that point in our lives where we are so in love with him? We are walking with him with a desire that has grown proportionately with our daily walk, our daily relationship with him. It continues to grow and to be fostered by the Spirit moving in us, teaching us, leading us, pointing us in the ways to go, helping us in the things we do and say. Are we so ready for God's presence to take over our lives, that we are able to step back and say, Father, not my will, just like Jesus, but yours be done. Did Jesus want to die? No. He did it out of love for us. And one of the things that I see in the church where people are trying to do to the nth degree so that they can look good is for their own glory. It's not at all about loving others. It's not at all about caring about the people that need to come and experience the grace and love and forgiveness of Jesus. For some people, they're so caught up in the color of the church, they're so caught up in what's going to decorate the church, that they're not loving people. They're really not. They're just fulfilling their own desires for what they want to see in the church. And it's all about what I want to see in the church. And they're not caring about the people who need Jesus. They're caring about details that have nothing to do with the love of Jesus Christ. It just has to do with how pretty can I make it today. And I think a lot of people really are missing out on a relationship with Jesus Christ in its fullness. Like in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full, abundantly. He didn't want us to just come and experience a piece of it. He wanted us to have that in our daily relationship. He wanted it to be a wholeness that was complete in us. And I think that probably a lot of people don't have that. And that's a part of why they struggle with the law, because they don't know what else is there for them. They don't understand the power of God's love that can flow through them. And they're just trying to please God, to try and get a better place, to make themselves look good. You know what? I want to please people, but my whole life is not wrapped around being a people pleaser. My life is wrapped around pleasing God. I love him so much. I want to please him with everything I do. For some people, they actually will decorate the church and it'll be great. But if that's all they do for the law, for their own benefit, and they're not loving others like God wants us to love them, then there's no reason to decorate the church. Having a nice-looking church is not bringing people to Jesus Christ. It's just about having a nice-looking church. Do we want it? Yeah, we want it. We like having nice-looking things. We like having people up on stage that look good, that are thin and smiling, that are all happy and ready to worship God today. But what about the love relationship with others? What about bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ and infusing his love into their lives, about finding ways to care for them like God cares for us? That needs to be a part of our lives, not just the chick feeling. And I mean that in a environmental way, not in a personal way with girls, chicks. I mean that as far as being in touch with societal factors. Being a part of our society, we need to look good. We need to act good. We need to have these things up so that people will say, look at the amazing amount of sound system we have. We have a $65,000 sound system in here. Everyone should want to come to Jesus, right? Where is the love? If we're not loving people to Jesus Christ, we're missing out on the core of sharing the faith that is in us, the hope that we have from 1 Peter again, referring back to that. We have to be ready in relationship with Christ to share that, because we're in a dynamic, there's that word again, dynamic relationship with God every day.
Amen. Amen. Talk a little bit about that difference, the difference between worship and entertainment.
There's a lot of difference. As a matter of fact, those are two totally different arenas. We have tried to put them together in our society, because our society has special shows on TV that talk about promote these people because they're better at this thing. You know, do take care of these people because they look good, because they feel good. They give us good feelings. None of those things represent Jesus Christ. Yes, we want to do our best for him, but entertainment is entertainment. It is not love. It is not worshiping God. It's worshiping humanity. And it is looking at the human element, looking at the physical, not the spiritual. If people are looking for entertainment, they are going to find it because Satan wants them to be distracted from the spiritual. He does not want them to look towards Christ. He wants them to look towards a good TV show. He wants them to look towards a smiling face that looks pretty on TV. He is wanting people to be distracted from God's love. And if that's what we're about, we are truly missing out on the love of God. I know a part of our interaction with people in the entertainment side of church for some people is saying we want people to come to church so that they will hear the gospel. Okay? I understand that. But why don't they see the gospel in you?
Amen.
You don't have to come into an entertainment place to hear the gospel. If we are living the love of Jesus Christ through transformed lives, then people are going to say, I want this love that you have in you, in me. If we're just coming to an entertainment situation, they're going to say, wow, that felt good, that looked good, woo, and then they're off back onto their lives the same way they were before.
Absolutely, and this is what I'm concerned with, is that we as the church have become a series of choreographed events rather than a in-season and out-of-season love experience relationship, because we can have a relationship with people through God. God can work through us to love them, because Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So sometimes when we're approaching a situation, and even if we find ourselves, you know, in season or out of season, well, even if I'm out of season, guess what? I can rely on Jesus to, Lord, I'm having trouble loving this person. You know, I've been offended. How can, you know, can you please work through me, work in me so I can love them the way you've asked me to love them, because I'm not feeling it.
Right, and a part of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and following are talking about we do this in season and out of season. We convince, we exhort, we rebuke. We do the things that are right in love for people. And it's got to be in season and out of season, not just for an event, not just for an activity, because there's a lot of things in life that we can be entertained with. And that's why a lot of people don't go to church. If you want to know the truth, what I think a lot of people can be entertained with the TV set. Why in the world would they ever want to go to church when they could have just as much and better than all the best churches can put on as a performance? They can have better performances on TV. Why would they ever want to leave their TV set to get in their car and drive to a church service where people are talking behind their back, where there's all kinds of issues going on, where there's not a lot of love happening? Why would they ever want to walk into a place that's about, oh, that's a pretty good singer, but they're really off key. Oh, man, look at that person. They can play the piano. That person over there, they can hardly play a chord on the guitar. What are they doing up on stage? And it becomes an event of looking for negative things, because on TV they only see the best ones. And you can vote someone off the island, you can vote a person off of a TV show because another person had a little bit better voice. That is not worshiping God. We become so enwrapped in our society with what is going to please me that we do not look for ways to love others. And the pleasing of me is going to be the downfall of the Christian church in America. If all we do is love ourselves, we are not doing what Jesus called us to do. If all we're doing is pleasing ourselves, we are missing out on the truth of the gospel. We're missing out on the good news. We're missing out on the most joyous thing that could ever happen in life. Not a happy feeling, a joyful, life-filling love. We're missing it. We're walking close to it and looking at it, but we're not letting it interact with us, encounter us. We're not welcoming it into our lives. Every day, that relationship thing needs to be happening so that we're welcoming His presence into our lives. We're welcoming that love into us so that we're able to share it. Not entertaining other people, loving them. People need love. You guys know that song from back?
Pastor Lloyd, yeah. We just have another minute left.
Sure.
Would you explain to people when your service is on Sundays, and then give us a prayer for closing this session of Christ Today out?
Yes, we meet for Sunday school at 9:30 in our church, and there are different services and different classes for different age levels, all different age levels. There's also worship service begins at 10:45 till 12. We try and get out near by 12, but I don't have a clock that stops me. So you're sure welcome to come and be a part of God's presence, recognizing and enjoying Him. So if you'd like to come to the Paradise Community Church of the Nazarene, we're actually located right at the corner of Skyway and Neal Road. It's the first light in Paradise, or the last one as you're leaving town. We're kind of right at that gateway right there. So let me pray for you today and thank the Lord for our time together. God, it is incredible how much you love us. We recognize it. We want to draw close to it. And so today, God, we ask you to come and fill us with your presence. Fill us with your love. I pray, God, our hearts will be so ready for you that nothing will be able to stop or draw us away from your great grace and love. I pray, Lord, that it'll become so much a part of who we are that your love will flow out of us. To you, first and foremost, and to all of those around us, I pray, God, that your love will absolutely flow as you would do if you were here. We submit ourselves to you, and we thank you for blessing us with your Spirit's power and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome.